Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It's one thing when growth slows in a big economy. It's something else when it actually shrinks. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It is a down day for the oil market, with benchmark crude in New York down 1.6%, $56.21 a barrel. There's that contraction of the German economy I just mentioned, and concern about China's economy for both its own internal reasons and the U.S.-China trade war. There was news today that unemployment in Chinese cities hit the highest level since officials started tracking this data. Later this week, the oil producers' cartel OPEC issues a monthly assessment. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports now on what is an energy source, a commodity, and an economic indicator.
What a difference 4 months makes in the oil market. Back in April, the world feared it didn't have enough oil. Crude producer Venezuela was falling apart, and Iran's exports were being sanctioned.
The sense at the end of April that OPEC might need to put more barrels on the market.
That's analyst Halima Croft at RBC Capital Markets. Then she says a tweet. In May, President Trump upped the tariffs on China, suggesting economic pain there.
China had been such a big buyer in the first half of the year, and there was a real concern that if Chinese buying slows, that the real pillar that was holding up this oil market is going to collapse.
Oil has dropped from nearly $90 a barrel last fall to 50-something today, and OPEC is nervous. Already, it has joined forces with Russia to cut supply and try to boost price. But the price hasn't cooperated. So now everyone is watching OPEC's de facto leader, Saudi Arabia, says Herman Wang at S&P Global Platts.
There doesn't seem to be much appetite for deepening the amount of cuts. So the question is, would Saudi Arabia go it alone? Would they cut unilaterally? That's what we really don't know.
If the Saudis drill less, they would sell less. So that hurts. And there's no guarantee that the price would rise, because U.S. shale oil from fracking could fill the gap in supply. Analyst Jamie Webster is with the Boston Consulting Group.
And this is not just from U.S. shale. This is from Norway. This is from Brazil. Several other countries that are going to be bringing on additional supply.
By his numbers, world supply will grow twice as fast as demand next year. And he says low prices may be a longer-term problem over the next decade.
Companies are getting much faster at bringing on supply projects. You see costs have come down. You've got concerns about that long-term demand growth.
It's a complicated oil market with new technology, new sellers, a lot of crude out there. And for sellers like OPEC, a question of whether there are enough buyers. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
We can also tell you Americans now owe more for mortgages than we did during the last peak just before the 2008 financial crisis. In the spring to summer quarter, U.S. households held mortgage balances of $9.4 trillion, according to the New York Fed, meaning the 15% drop during the Great Recession has been erased. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson is here to discuss. Tracy, what do we have here? It's about buying homes, of course, but it's also about people taking advantage of low interest rates to refi.
Yeah, so this was also a big quarter for mortgage originations, or issuing new mortgages. It was about half and half as to whether those were for new home purchases or to refi an existing mortgage. Guy Sakala runs Inside Mortgage Finance, which tracks this data.
Last year, we saw refis at about 30% of the overall mortgage market. In the second quarter of this year, we haven't published the number yet, but it's going to be 45 or higher percent, which is a significant jump in a very short period of time.
Sakala says he's not concerned that American households are loading up on too much debt because mortgage defaults and delinquencies are still at very low levels.
All right, staying with this topic of financing and refinancing, there's news that those famous FICO scores may have some competition when it comes to getting a mortgage. What's behind that?
So a new rule from the Federal Housing Finance Agency, which oversees Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, is requiring those two mortgage financing companies to consider alternatives to FICO when figuring out whether borrowers qualify for a loan and at what rate. The idea being this might help some borrowers qualify who might not otherwise. In particular, it could mean more use of a FICO competitor called VantageScore, which uses slightly different criteria and tries to assess the creditworthiness of people who might have more limited credit history. Because Fannie and Freddie back nearly half of all mortgages in the U.S., this could have a big impact on the mortgage market.
All right. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you. Note that the 30-year Treasury tied to so many mortgages hit an all-time low this morning. Cannabis companies listed in Canada post their quarterly results this week. These are publicly traded companies that deal in legal, recreational, and medical marijuana products, plus products infused with a cannabis component, CBD, creams, beverages, and more. As Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, there are high aspirations here, but not so much profit yet from the bigger industry players.
Canada-based Tilray was the first cannabis company to go public in the U.S., and its stock initially soared. Yesterday, the company announced a fourth straight quarterly loss. Revenues were actually up, offset by big spending on new production and distribution infrastructure. Troy Dayton at the ArcView Investor Group says the cannabis industry demands big upfront investments and high risk tolerance.
Profitability hasn't been what is expected. You see big ups, big downs, and it's highly volatile.
He says that's partly because legal and financial regulations are in constant flux. Cassandra Farrington at Marijuana Business Daily says companies are busy trying to build market share and name recognition.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard, hey, we're going to be the Starbucks of cannabis, there is no brand that has really set itself apart.
Analysts say there's still tremendous growth potential as legalization spreads across the U.S. and around the world. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We're tracking this higher bond market. The 10-year Treasury yield is down sharply this morning, 1.62%. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.